I was grateful for how the church business world, yes, the giving platforms, weren't kind of being sharks in that regard.
Yes.
Because they could easily go and say, I'm charging 5-6% to be on this.
Yes.
Or say Patreon is a popular, yep, platform for like artists and stuff to work, and they charge a 5% fee. And that's fine. Yeah. That's their business model.
Yeah.
But I was encouraged to see that the church business world and these giving platforms weren't doing that. But yeah, I was shocked to see that from the nonprofit world. It wasn't uncommon for me to find platforms that were charging 5-6%.
Yes.
For what? And yeah, it was like, it, yep, was one of those where it's like, almost if you're you don't even have to be a faith-based ministry, but if you are a faith-based ministry, you should probably look at the church giving platforms, right, as opposed to some of these nonprofit giving platforms.
Right.
Because ultimately, again, if you're, say, you're doing $1 million, I mean, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars that could affect you.
Absolutely.
And for why? Like, well, yeah, what is the real benefit of it?
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith. I'm joined by my friend Casey Fulgenzi here in New York City in Gotham Podcast Studios. Casey, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be here.
Well, can you do a lot of things. We met here in the city. And so can you maybe share a little bit about what your day job is and then maybe, yeah, some of the things you do outside of your day job as well?
Yeah, so my day job, I work at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York. Most famously known probably is founded by Tim Keller.
Yes.
And at Redeemer, I do a few things, but my primary role is I'm associate director of Gospel and Life, which is, yes, a resource site from where we provide resources from Redeemer and primarily Tim Keller.
Yep.
It's where all his sermons and all his content lives.
Yeah.
And so my main job is I run that. So I, yes, oversee that and make sure the day-to-day everything's happening there.
And that includes then website, social media,
yep,
email.
So it's primarily an e-commerce site, but yeah, yep, so it's making sure everything's running smoothly on that. And then also as well as running, we have a large email list of, you know, well, thousands that I'm regularly like promoting new resources to or discounted resources, as well as we're just now really starting kind of social.
Yes.
And we've just started working with you and your team, yep, on somewhat of a donation model where,
yep,
we're releasing for the first time probably more free resources than we ever have. And so on our podcast, on the Gospel and Life podcast. And so so I'm managing the podcast as well, just the day-to-day of uploading and
yeah,
and getting, say, like our voiceovers recorded and things like that. And yep, so now with this new donation model, we're working with you guys where we also have books where, you know, if someone gives a donation to Gospel and Life, then we'll send them one of Tim's books. And every month, yep, that changes, and it's we kind of do a theme per month. So the month for November, our theme is marriage.
Yep.
And Tim and Kathy, his wife, just released a marriage devotional, 365-day devotional. And so we're releasing on our podcast, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 days a week. We're doing his actually most popular sermon series, which is a marriage series from actually 91.
Yeah.
It's still the most popular series that we have on Gospel and Life. And so with that, you know, we kind of plug the book as well as, like, if you, yep, give a donation, we'll send you the book for within, you know, a week or two.
Yeah.
And and so that's our new kind of adventure that, yep, we're on with Gospel Online.
And I want to get into some of the other things you're doing. That's what we're going to focus on,
yeah,
in this,
yeah,
podcast. But I want to hear, maybe as you've gone to that, I would say you've not just doubled down on podcasting, you've tripled down on podcasting. Yeah. What are you learning in the world of podcasting as you focus so heavily on it in the last 3 to 6 months?
Yeah. So so we officially started the full process July. We kind of started early in June. Prior to that, our podcast, we've had the Gospel and Life podcast actually existed for years now.
Yes.
At least probably 6, maybe 7 years.
Yep.
Early days, it was something. I've been a Redeemer now. Let's see. This March will be 6 years.
Wow.
Prior to me coming on, it was something. The podcast was kind of just casually updated. When I came on, we kind of we revamped it a little bit and made it something where we're releasing once every other week. And we also started putting the audio, the just audio sermons, as whatever we put on the podcast, we'd also make available on YouTube. And we just use like a static image and just make the audio available there.
Yeah.
And so we had a process of doing that every 2 weeks. We kind of, I'd say after about 2 years or so, we kind of put that on hold, and it was very sporadic in how often we released, even more probably so than we were before I came on. And then and part of that we revamped after starting working with you guys on a formal strategy of, you know, curating a donor group that could support Gospel in Life.
Yep.
And so now, since we've been doing that, like I said, 3 days a week, I mean, it's really, we've always had tons of listeners and tons of subscribers to the Gospel in Life podcast. I mean, tens of thousands, over 100,000, you know, listens per episode.
Sure.
That's always been the case. But now it's been interesting to see. It's never really grown. It's always kind of been static.
Yep.
But now that we're actually releasing it regularly, it is growing. And, we're regularly hearing feedback from people like, oh, thank you guys so much for doing this regularly. And where, you know, even when we were trying to decide, like, how often should we do it? Should we do it 1 a week, five a week, Monday through Friday? Even 3 days a week felt like, I was like, oh, that's a lot of content. And Tim's sermons aren't, you know, 20-minute sermons.
Right.
They're 45 minutes.
Yes.
And there's and they're heavy. Like, and they're, Tim's a very smart man. And I mean, he does a great job of, you know, kind of dumbing it down for folks like us. But it still can be stuff where it's one of those things where it's helpful to listen to twice or even three times to really even get grasp kind of what he illustrated. And that's no fault of Tim does a fantastic job of it, but it's like, some of it's just like,
it's just meaty.
There's so much little details in there and that you might not even notice the first time.
Yep.
And so we weren't even sure, like, with 3 days a week, are people actually going to listen that often? Like, and sure enough, they are. And I'm sure we can go to every day and people would. They just love it. And part of that's been, I think, demand, just because in the past, it hasn't always been easy to get this stuff.
Yep.
Even though we had, like, things like an app, it just still wasn't easy to consume.
Yes.
Stuff was behind a paywall, things like that. Whereas now, removing some of those barriers and friction and making it easier to access has been a big help as far as, I think, growth in that.
Yep.
As well as just the consistency. Now, I think people probably realize we're doing it 3 days a week. And I know for my favorite podcasts, I know when they release their episodes, and that affects my week on how I'm listening to stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's people like that have started doing that. And now that it's consistent, people are also talking about it more. So they'll tag us on social and like, oh, love that you guys have done this. I had somebody the other day tag us and say, I think on Twitter, talk about, like, you know, whoever you guys hired to change things up on the podcast was a great hire. So glad you did. I was like, oh, it's the same people, but we just now we actually have a strategy around it, as opposed to before it was just kind of just casual sharing that.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting to see the growth behind it. And we track everything too in our numbers. And so we actually see that, you know, our listener growth is growing.
Yep.
And it's just, I mean, it's one of those where it's like, it's a mountain, so it's climbing.
Yes.
You can see it regularly on the charts.
Yep.
And I will say one thing's interesting. When we were more casually doing it a few years ago, we would regularly, and this just speaks to how the podcast industry has changed and grown. We used to regularly be in like the top 100 of podcasts in iTunes in the US store, not even like just Christian podcasts, but we regularly hit, you know, 75 to 125 probably in the ranks on overall podcasts in the iTunes store.
Yep.
Now we usually float around like, you know, sometimes we don't even break like 200.
Yep.
And I would say that has nothing to do with us, even though we have more listeners.
Yeah.
There's just so many podcasts now.
Yes.
And there's so many great podcasts.
Yes.
And so it's interesting just to see, whereas, you know, 5 years ago, that wasn't quite the case. It was still kind of a newer thing that was reemerging again, I guess.
Yes.
And part of me is like kind of like regretting, like, oh man, we could have been.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you wish you would have gone all in earlier?
Yeah, I mean, there's some other ones that have been, Joel Osteen, I would say, is one. There's a few others that are probably regularly up there at the top.
Yep.
That were consistent and been around for years that we were probably competing. I say competing in quotation marks, competing with in the when I said we were doing it a few years ago. That have stuck with it and have always been doing it consistently, that are still kind of up there.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just it's a really interesting, even in the Christian market, where like, because you can see the categories, so in the Christian categories,
yep,
interesting to see like new podcasts pop up and
yep,
and that are kind of trending and doing yeah, really well.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's, there's a lot of different things with like algorithms there. Like I know some of that, the rankings are related to new subscribers.
Yep.
And we actually haven't had any strategy around getting new subscribers. That's
yep,
outside of just like, you know, creating a consistent habit of us posting
yep,
and,
yep,
but we haven't tried, acquisition, I guess, for our for podcast listeners yet.
Yep.
And I'm
yep,
sure that'll probably be something we'll get to in maybe the next 6-12 months or something. But,
yep,
and I know the more subscribers you get, or new subscribers, I should say. So as you get new subscribers, that's actually one of the biggest impacts on the algorithm as far as like rankings.
Yep.
Not necessarily listeners.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that I know we get on average an episode within say 2 weeks gets probably about 100 to 125, even 150,000 yep, downloads.
Yep.
Now that doesn't necessarily mean that many people, but
yes,
are listening to it. But I mean, it would definitely be, I would say you could probably say around 100,000 listens. So it's interesting to see that, knowing what we get, and then knowing yes, to see what, the Joel Osteen and yes, some of the other people that are even higher than us. I mean, I can't even imagine what they're, I mean, I'm sure I could reach out to some of those guys that yep, are doing that, but, yeah, just the numbers there and even, but also like as new people are releasing podcasts, to see how well they're doing.
Yes.
And how much, most recently Apple's changed some things on how they present that and we've talked about this in the past,
yep,
like how Apple realized that churches are actually like the number one users of podcasts
yes,
on their platform.
Yes.
So it's interesting to see how they've kind of, shifted some of their focus to make sure that that's accounted for, I guess,
yes,
and how they do things.
It is such a massive opportunity today, podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think at the end of the day, what I appreciate, even your transparency, is you're crushing podcasting, but you're figuring it out.
Like,
you don't
know
absolutely,
you don't have all
the answers, but every day you know a little bit more,
yeah,
you know, and absolutely, you're learning a little bit more and you're getting better and you're reaching more people by
yeah,
being strategic and understanding it. So if you don't have a podcast yet, get started.
Yeah.
And you'll absolutely, get better.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen, I guarantee this, everyone, when they get started podcasting, they're going to regret not getting started sooner.
Yeah.
So if you get started today, that's going to be way better than getting started tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And so just get started. Casey, I want to talk about one of the websites you have, and this is
yep,
maybe let's talk about all of your side hustle things, but then let's focus. So you've launched a lot of different initiatives
yep,
to help in different ways. You're entrepreneurial, clearly. So talk maybe about some of those things you're doing outside of Redeemer.
Yeah, so I have a few different side projects. Some are financially motivated and
yeah,
side hustles.
Yeah.
One of the most recent ones would be what I call WP Bellhop, which is a WP for WordPress, which basically we do anytime if somebody needs a WordPress site,
yep,
it can get confusing for the person looking to get the site done in the
yes,
sense of like they're reaching out to agencies and freelancers, and you know, you might get a rate from a freelancer to do it for $500, you might get
yep,
another rate from an agency to do it for $10,000,
yep,
and whether this is a church or anybody,
yep,
and so we said, you know, what would it be if we just made a flat rate
yep,
where you understood it was easy to understand exactly what you're going to be paying for
yeah,
and it was still going to be quality and custom.
Yep.
And so we charge $1,000 one-time fee for
yep,
us to build you a custom site. And then we do a $99 a month plan where we host that site as well as provide maintenance and updates and things like that. So you don't have to worry about all the pain points of WordPress
yep,
as well as make you a weekly, we'll do a weekly edit for you. So whether that's uploading a new item in your store or a new sermon on your site or on your church site or whatever
yeah,
it is, we handle that for you. So that's probably the newest one. And that one's actually, there are financial incentives there where
yeah,
I'm like, you know, this could be a good side business for me.
Yep.
And it's doing well. And then there's been a few other ones. One last year that I did, earlier this year that I did was giving fees.
Yeah.
And this was more as part of a kind of a community, I guess, that I'm in. A Product Hunt, it's a really popular site. They were
okay,
doing like a kind of hackathon, I would lack for a better, lack
yeah,
of a better word, kind of a new no code one where it's people, they ask people to build something and you can enter this competition.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the same time, there was some new giving platforms coming out for churches. Yep. And I was like, yep. There's not a lot of transparency here.
Yeah.
And so I felt there needs to be – and I'm also – I'm active in the church communications group, yep. and a few other church yep. groups. We're regularly people are asking, like, hey, what platform do you use for giving yep. and donations and stuff? And so I would say, yeah, this should have some more transparency here. So my project for that competition was something called Giving Fees, so givingfees.com. And basically it's kind of a spreadsheet. It's not the most visually appealing thing. It was thrown together pretty quickly. I was focused more on the data rather yep. than the visuals of it. Yep. But basically you can go and there's a list of, I think, 15 to 20, 25 maybe, different giving platforms.
Yep.
There's two sections, one for churches, one for nonprofits, because the industries are a little different there. And so you have basic pricing listed as well as basic feature sets listed. And you have everyone from like Planning Center to Tithely to a lot of the popular ones. There's some popular ones that aren't on there. I'm going to throw out the name PushPay. but some other ones that are popular that aren't there just because they're not upfront about their pricing. Usually it's one of those where you have to work with a salesperson and yep. kind of get custom pricing for your church or ministry. So the ones that are upfront about the pricing and make it listed on their page, I have that listed in the sheet. And you can basically go in there, and the way it works is you put in your best estimate of like what your average donation is.
Yep.
So say your average donation is $300 or something. And you put your how many donations you get a week, and if they're like ACH, bank giving through your bank,
yep.
or if they're giving by like credit card,
yep.
and you can put all those in, and it'll calculate what the pricing breakdown would yep. be for each of the say 20 different platforms.
Yep.
So you can see actually along with those platforms' monthly rates, what everything will total up to,
yep.
and so maybe on this one platform. You know, in fees, you might pay $1,000 a year or something.
Sure.
Once everything's calculated. And then on another platform, it might be $2,000. And I did this, it was more of just, people were releasing things and saying, like, hey, this is the lowest cost giving platform. Yep. And it's like, well, it depends on who you are yep. or like what your church is. It's definitely yep. unique for your church. And and I just felt like, again, there wasn't a lot of transparency there.
Yes.
And there wasn't an easy way for churches to compare all those things.
Yes.
Even me, I spent hours and hours actually going and finding all that stuff. And it was a pain. Yep. I still get emails from different companies saying like, oh, hey, we added this feature, or hey, we're not listed. Can you add us?
Yes.
And sometimes I have to push back and be like, no, because you're not transparent on this stuff.
Yeah.
Or I haven't told anybody no because of what they charge. But I will say, surprisingly on that one, I found that the church world was actually a lot better than I shouldn't be surprised by this. I'm happy to yeah. find this. The church world was a lot better with their giving platforms, the companies that are behind those, than the as far as like rates and stuff, than the nonprofit world.
That's encouraging. General nonprofit
world. Yeah, in the general nonprofit world.
Yeah.
And like I said, you can go on the site and find and switch over and look at the nonprofit ones too, pricing over like what's common there.
Yeah.
The nonprofit ones are regularly trying to take a larger percentage of donations.
Wow.
Whereas the church world, I will say they are doing that so people understand how some of this works in the church world. I know that's not what I'm here to talk about mainly, but
yeah, no, it's interesting, but it's important to everybody who listens to this.
The companies that are behind the giving platforms, right now there's an industry standard rate of a transactional cost
yeah.
related to any type of transaction, whether it's yes. a gift, a donation, or a purchase.
Yep.
Industry rate would be 2.9%
yep.
of the charge plus 30 cents.
Hmm.
So that means if you spent if you swipe your credit card to give $10 or buy something $10,
yep.
The company that's like handling the process yep. of that, usually it's a big corporation called Stripe, but it's similar to like a PayPal or something.
Sure,
they're going to charge on that $10 2.9%. So what is that? 29 cents.
Yep.
Plus 30 cents. So yep. out of that $10. The company that you're buying it from or the church you're giving that $10 to yep. is actually only getting $9. What's the math on that? $9.41, I think.
Okay.
Give or take a few cents.
Sure.
I might be awful on that.
Yeah.
That's how those companies make their money. That's how the say like the Stripes and the PayPals. That's how they make their money. Now what? Now these all these giving platforms are have popped up, like the Tidly's and the PushPays and the Planning Center and all those type of things.
Yep.
Some of them have different methods. Some of them charge a flat rate monthly.
Yep.
Rate of set to be on their platform. Most notably, Brady Share released a newer one. Rebel Giving.
Yep.
And their big thing is that, you know, it's a flat monthly rate. They're not actually going to take a cut of any transaction cost. And so, whereas a lot of other companies, they might only be charging you that 2.9% and 30 cents. But what is happening is they actually are getting, they're getting a cut of that. So because they're doing a larger volume of millions and millions of dollars.
Yes.
They actually might only be getting, Stripe might only be charging them, say 2%, or in reality it's more probably like 1.5%.
Yep.
And so what happened is they're getting that, even though they're getting to charge you, for the cost for them to charge you for that gift is only, instead of the, even though it seems like it might be 2.9%, it's actually only probably at 1.5-1.6% or something like that.
Yeah.
And then but their costs, they're charging you the 2.9%.
Yep.
So they're making 1.4%, 1.5% off of every donation that comes through your church.
Yep.
And now I'm not discriminating against that. Discriminating is not the right one. I'm not criticizing that. I think that's a business.
Yeah.
That's how their business is structured.
Yes.
So some of them provide free to very low cost monthly plans to offer these giving platforms.
Yep.
And that's how they're making their money, is getting that percentage.
Yes.
Whereas other ones, like now Rebel Give being the newest one, they're saying that's not right. I disagree with that. They're saying that's not right. Instead, we should charge, we'll just give a flat monthly fee. We want a flat monthly fee for what you guys are that you pay us to be on Rebel Give, and we're going to get the lowest rate possible for you.
Yep.
And that works out for some churches, and those are all listed in that sheet on givingfees.com, and you can calculate it. And so financially that works out for some churches, and financially it doesn't.
Yep.
So you just kind of have to see. And there's tons of nuances there too, whereas, say, Rebel Give, they have their big thing is that everyone that gives has to cover the donation.
Okay.
The cost of that transaction fee.
Yes.
So that 2.9%, I don't know what Rebel Give, I think it's like 1.8 or 2% or something.
Sure.
What they actually, because they're getting that discount, and so what they're actually charging is only what they're getting it at. And they actually, they require that the donor covers those fees.
Okay.
So a lot of platforms actually have that as an opt-in.
Yeah.
And churches and ministries and nonprofits see success with that, because they're saying, hey, I want that $10 we're talking about. I actually do want the church to get that $10.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and pay that 49 cents myself. And so that way the church gets the full $10, and I'm going to be charged $10.41 or whatever they said the rest was.
Yep.
And so what happens is the with Rebel Give, they're saying everyone should do that. That way the church is always getting 100%.
Interesting.
I appreciate the motive there. I think there's probably something – there's an issue – my issue there is that – it's a little bit of marketing, because it says your church is getting to the church communications person saying, hey, your church is going to get 100% of donations. While that's true, I think there could be put off people that are members and even non-members that want to give to a church or something.
Yes.
I think there could be – you could cause some issues there where someone sees, oh, you're trying to get every dime of me.
Yeah.
And so, especially with churches, they're seen – in a lot of cases, they're seen as being kind of money hungry.
Yes.
And just out to get my dollar, you know, so my pastor can drive a Bentley. So not my pastor.
But, just to be clear.
Not my pastor. But just so, you know, whoever's pastor that may be.
Yes.
And so, so that could rub people the wrong way. And then that could cause you to – not get that $500 gift because they don't want to do that.
Yes.
And in that case, even though it seemed like you saved money, you actually didn't, because you lost out on that $500 gift.
Yes.
I don't think that's a huge – that's going to always happen.
Yep.
But I think that could happen sometimes. And then even if it happens once, that could cause you to – it actually end up causing you more to be on that platform. So nothing to – I think they have great intentions with all of that.
Yep.
But I think there's a lot of different things like that where it's like, well, I create a giving fees to bring transparency to all of that.
I think we're in a state with church giving where where I think we need to analyze, are we on the best platform? So in the last 10 years, I've always pushed, like, just make it available. Yep. You know, a lot of churches just weren't even doing online giving. Mm-hmm. Where now, I think every church, most churches now have online giving.
Yep.
But I think you need to check, are we best stewarding these platforms to make sure that we have a good giving experience, that we have, you know, stable technology, security, so that we're getting good rates. I was just looking at the nonprofits, so this is a fascinating sheet here. There's one on the nonprofit side, 7%.
Yeah, exactly.
That they're taking. You need to know these things and not just accept that.
Exactly. I was so surprised about that. And even for I even ran into this issue when we were working with you guys and we were trying to figure out for our new nonprofit stuff with Gospel and Life, our new donation based model with Gospel and Life, where we were trying to figure out our CRM and what we were going to use for our landing pages and our giving portal and that type of stuff. And one of the ones that I looked at heavily that I really liked and really well done, and had a lot of features that I thought was really cool, and it was just a better kind of user experience. They just did really good a job on the design.
Yep.
And so I was like, I want to use this, but they were going to tack on, I think 1 or 2% or something like that to whatever our Stripe costs were going to be.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, when you're talking $50,000, maybe that doesn't matter. When you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, like, that adds up.
Yes.
And it's like, well, what's that? Is that experience worth it? And so I was surprised by that when I was looking. I mean, I was grateful for how the church business world and the giving platforms weren't kind of being sharks in that regard.
Yes.
Because they could easily go and say, I'm charging 5-6% to be on this.
Yes.
Or say Patreon is a popular platform for, like, artists and stuff to work, and they charge a 5% fee, and that's fine. That's their business model.
Yeah.
But I was encouraged to see that the church business world and these giving platforms weren't doing that. But I was shocked to see that from the nonprofit world. It wasn't uncommon for me to find platforms that were charging 5-6%.
Yes.
For what? And it was like, it was one of those where it's like, almost if you're you don't have to be a faith-based ministry, but if you are a faith-based ministry, you should probably look at the church giving platforms as opposed to some of these nonprofit giving platforms.
Right.
Because ultimately, again, if you're, say, you're doing $1 million, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars that could affect you.
Absolutely.
And for why? What is the real benefit of it?
Yeah.
It was a little discouraging too to see that for like why. They're companies first, obviously.
Yes.
But they're still focused on a niche of people that are doing good and organizations that are doing good.
Yep.
And there's some companies that have showed up in there that are, and I've even talked with friends about even like exploring starting something for that for nonprofits where they're taking a much smaller, say, fee of the, they're doing the Stripe fee of 2.9%, or if you get it discounted because you're doing large amounts. And then taking a very small cut as opposed to trying to get 3% of an organization's all donation.
Yeah.
Or doing something like even like $10 a month to be on the platform. I mean, kind of like what Rebel Gives doing. There's ways you could do that, I think, and still make money and have a successful business, but not be a shark and just like trying to take every bit you could. And, so.
Well, I think it was generous of you to take the time to build this out and create the transparency. And so I hope everyone will go to givingfees.com, check it out, and just compare and see. And just because it's cheaper doesn't mean it's better. There are a lot of factors to play in. But I think what you did, though, is you created some unique transparency. I live in this world. I live in the world of church and nonprofit.
Yeah.
And there's some things that I just didn't understand. And when I dug into this for the first time, I remember digging into it the first time. I'm like, man, this is cool. I'm looking at it right now while we're talking. I'm like, man, I want to look at this one again. Yeah. You know, and just you start seeing some things, and then there's a lot to dig into with giving.
Yeah.
We're talking about Church Lancer
today,
and so I took you on this tangent, and I appreciate you going down it because I think it's a valuable conversation, and we probably need to even just do a podcast.
Yeah, I know, right?
Because I think
you
there's
just cut what we just talked about.
All of the factors. No, we're not going to cut it because it's very valuable.
No, but I'm saying you cut it and turn it
and put another podcast. But let's talk about Church Lancer.
So Church Lancer is another. Ultimately, that's what you're relating to me.
I've
got my hands in quite a few projects. That's ultimately one that that I started.
Where did it come from?
It was probably one of my first ones.
Yeah.
That I started to just build for the sake of it because I felt there was a need there, similar to giving fees. That came from – so, again, I've been active in the church communications group and a few other groups. Church communications, I've been there since day one when Katie started it.
Literally day one?
Literally day one, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it came from – it was started from the Visual Media Church group.
Okay,
Church Motion Graphics is behind it, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
It started because Katie, I was active in that group too, and Katie was in there.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of church communications related questions.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with visual,
yep.
Motion graphics or, you know, like sets or like your worship set and that type of stuff, whereas that's what kind of that was focused on.
Yep.
And Katie just asked Jeff if she could start her own thing, kind of get his blessing for that.
Yep.
And he did. And
yeah.
So I remember from day one, and that was, I was in that world, I was in only in that group primarily because of, I saw there were a lot of those type of questions, and that's kind of – and that's my world. So, So once Katie started that, it was part of that group. So since day one, ever however many years ago that was now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I've been active in that, and I saw one of the regular questions that came up was, I need a logo.
Yes.
our church needs a logo. Or this new sub-ministry needs a logo.
Yeah.
Who would you recommend? Or – I need a website built. Who would you recommend?
Yeah.
And it still happens to this day. I mean, probably I'd say at least once a week in those groups. And people don't know how to use the search function in those groups to go back, or they either don't realize it's there, or that, you know, people are just, you know, don't want to mess with it. And so I figured instead of every week there being a thread where 50 people promote themselves to try to get hired by this person that posted in a Facebook group.
Yep.
Why not I just build like a kind of a database of creative freelancers and agencies that work with churches so people could kind of browse on their own and easily browse, you know, their portfolio and things like that.
Yep.
So it was a project I think I took on. Let's see. I guess I launched it. It was like 2 years ago now. It's probably when I started on it. I will still say I give the caveat that it was very much an MVP and still is. I actually haven't done much to it in quite a long time.
Okay.
It's MVP meaning minimal
viable product.
Viable product.
It's a pretty good MVP, man.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
But I had I think at the time I had Kyler Nixon, who's a graphic designer. I reached out to him. I was like, hey, can you help me with a logo? And Kyler was very generous and threw some together quickly. And I got some feedback. I think I created a Google form and reached out to, you know, 5-10 freelancers I knew, and then another 5 or 10 people that I knew that would be hiring these type of people.
Yep.
And saying like, hey, what would you expect from this? What would you want?
Yep.
And so we asked a variety of questions, and so and then I built it. I found a WordPress theme that could kind of do what I wanted at the time. That again, so it would just be easy for me.
Yeah.
And built it, and then just started promoting it in those groups. Every time when this thread comes up, I say, hey, check out Church Lancer. It'll be easier than going through each of these comments.
Yep.
And there's, I think, 70 or 80 or so creative freelancers and agencies that are in there as well.
How many do you have any idea how many people have been hired through the website?
I don't. I wish I did. So that's one of the few things that I want to do that I'd like to do and rebuild it. I've yet to rebuild it, but that's a project that I want to take on again. And part of that's just because I haven't decided on what I want the future of it to be.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to nail that down before I rebuild it.
Yeah.
But it's I hear from quite a few that that have gotten jobs from it. I remember hearing one time a guy that was getting that had gotten a few gigs from it, or at least gotten a few inquiries from it.
Yeah.
A freelancer. He asked me if there were some issues on the site because he hadn't gotten any recently, and he usually does, and it was affecting his his business in a
way. Interesting.
And there weren't any issues. It was just he wasn't really getting any leads. But and I've heard that people have gotten either gotten jobs from it or have gotten leads that have led to other things, or, you know, have gotten leads and they didn't work out. And that's fine too.
Yeah.
I don't have an exact number. That's one of the things I've thought about when I rebuild is so I can actually track that.
Yeah.
How often some of that stuff's used. I don't have a way to track any of that right now. I just hear from people that I've been using
it. Yeah. So I want to talk about the question I get a lot is, should we outsource or insource?
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, being an outsourcer and
somebody who gets outsourced
too. I'm obviously all for outsourcing, so I can argue that side. I'm curious at Redeemer. Is most stuff done in-house? Because the bigger the organization, more likely that you do it in-house.
Yep.
But I'm curious your just personal practices and what's your opinion around when to outsource, when to, you know what, it's easier just to do it yourself.
Yeah. So Redeemer is an interesting one where, you know, we have the Redeemer churches, I should say. We have five different churches now. And then we have our sister organizations, which are different ministries. Yep. So we have City of City, which is a church planning organization, Hope for New York, which is kind of a nonprofit that is there to help other nonprofits. And so they provide like grant writing assistance and that type of stuff to nonprofits in the city.
Yeah.
We have a counseling center that's independent. We have a Center for Faith and Work that works, you know, faith and work.
Yep.
And a few other things within that too. So we have quite a few different churches and ministry. We're all on the same floor. We all share a lot of the, you know, I'm actually part of what we call central services. So things like HR, communications, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Within, say, communications, we have that's assisting all those ministries. We have a full-time video manager, a part-time person that's under him.
Yep.
And then we have a full-time graphic designer.
Yeah.
And then our video person we hire out freelancers for that, for that, because just we need bodies sometimes. And so we hire freelancers for different projects, all local.
Yep.
And then our graphic design, for the most part, is pretty much all done in-house with our one graphic designer. His name's Lee, and he's just he's been with Redeemer for years, and he's just incredibly efficient.
Yep.
I mean, I can send him something, I'll get something back in 5 minutes.
Yep.
And there's pros and cons of that. But with that big organization, one graphic designer is pretty rare.
Yes.
It's pretty rare to be able to do that. And that's, again, that's all because of Lee's efficiency. I think if Lee were to ever move on, we'd probably be stuck in the sense of like, there'd need to be changes in that. I don't think we could just find one person to replace him.
Yep.
I would say the same thing for Andrew, our video person. He's also efficient.
Yep.
And then it comes a lot of times where I will say some of the less the churches and some of the ministries occasionally will hire out freelancers, say if they want something that's going to need to be not necessarily more hands-on, but maybe more creative and unique that would be outside of what our normal creative people would do.
Yep.
They might outsource that. Or if there's something where there's not somebody that's an expert on staff.
Yep.
Most notably, we probably for outsourcing would be our web stuff.
Yep.
We have an IT team, and they're hands-on more like office IT.
Okay.
And then also like behind our CHMS, which is on Touchpoint, and they're managing a lot of that stuff.
Yes.
The website is more under communications, and that we've always outsourced to.
Okay.
A larger kind of agency usually.
Yep.
We've kind of occasionally I'll do something.
Okay.
So I rebuilt most recently. We have a site called New Birth Portraits. New Birth Portraits are kind of testimonial videos of people kind of coming to faith or having recoming to faith. And it's just a video kind of archive of all those stories that we've captured over the years. So I rebuilt that. The Redeemer, I guess, hired me to rebuild that site as a freelancer. And then occasionally always it's usually web stuff that we hire out for.
Yeah.
My personal opinion on that, I mean, it really depends. I think there's churches, you know, if you're a church of 100, you probably don't need a full-time graphic designer, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so I think there's great businesses out there, most probably – prominent as say Church Media Squad.
Yep.
Church Media Squad is a company that does all you need graphic design for churches.
Yep.
At a low rate, I think it's like $500 or $600 a month.
Okay.
And they put out fantastic work. Wow. I mean, it's high quality.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some stipulations there on like how quick the turnaround time is and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be perfect for say a church of 100.
Yeah. Sounds like it'd be good for a church of 5,000.
I've contemplated us trying to hire him for some things just to save time. Yeah, so exactly. It's perfect for churches of all sizes, and they have churches of all sizes on there.
Yeah.
Even if you just need to have like a second person, if you have a full-time graphic designer, just somebody you can kind of hand some of that stuff off to.
Yep.
So there's some companies that have popped up like that.
Yeah.
And there's some other ones in that space that are church-related. There's definitely quite a few that are not church-specific that are in that space, too.
Yeah.
Like I said, the quality is not quite as there.
Okay.
They're usually outsourced to another country.
Sure.
Whereas the benefit, and Mike, the founder of Church Media Squad, to his credit, has just put a put together an incredible team of talented people.
Yep.
And they all have worked. I think everyone on staff for him has worked at a church before.
Yep.
So they understand it.
Yes.
Right? And so they understand what churches need. They understand what the expectations there are, the quality, and just that you know that process. And I've even come for the site that I run for Gospel and Life. We also hire out for web development.
Yep.
And I had an issue a few years ago when we were trying to find new developers on our old platform, where it was a unique platform, so there weren't a lot of developers available for.
Yeah.
And so I ran into an issue where every developer I talked to, and even the ones we ended up hiring at the time, they weren't Christians.
Yes.
I don't have an issue with that.
Yep.
But the issue was that there was the onboarding to get them to understand what we needed and just our understanding. I mean, they didn't even understand things like, okay, so you have 3 speakers every week that we need to get their content on the site.
Yep.
And this happens every, like, they just don't understand what a church service is like.
Yeah.
And again, no discredit to them. It's just that they didn't understand that. And so there was a huge learning curve that even if somebody had ever actually even just gone to church for a year would probably have better understanding than they did, and could have saved us so much time, and even just having like they'd be able to think through things differently. And so that's where benefits of like saying Church Media Squad versus some of the other non ones that aren't focused on churches come in, is that they just understand it better.
Yes.
And that comes back to the exact same thing with Church Lancer. One of the reasons I built Church Lancer is because, say, in those Facebook threads we were talking about where people ask, hey, I need a logo design, who do you recommend?
Yep.
You constantly get people, and you still do, that say Fiverr.
Yes.
Fiverr has its place.
It's one way to outsource. Yes.
If you're not familiar with Fiverr, it's a very low-cost market. It's a marketplace where you can go and find someone to do pretty much anything for you.
Yep.
You can get a logo design for $5, literally.
Yes.
It is going to be crap.
$5 you spent on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
You can probably spend $50 and get one that looks good. But again, the people that are making those are usually pulling from a template. And it's not going to be unique.
Yep. And for some situations, that's all you need.
Some situations, that is all you need. Exactly.
Yes.
And they do other things. You can find literally anything I think you can get done there, whether it's if you need a voiceover person to do it, you can do it there. If you need like a intro graphic animation or something to your YouTube videos, they can do it there.
Yep.
And there's a lot of different, I don't think you should never use Fiverr. I think there's probably some things there that it's good for, and some things that you probably shouldn't use it for.
Yep.
But I felt like this was one of those things where you probably shouldn't use it for.
Yeah.
Again, it comes down to, you could pay that person $50 on Fiverr to do your logo. Or I know some freelancers that, you know, are just starting out. They could probably give you a logo that's just as good or better. And they actually might only charge $100. Now, I'm talking really low rates here.
Yes.
I think you should be paying more for a logo than $100. But there are people that are that are Christians that know the church world that might only charge you $100 because they're new, or just because they need the money, but they just want to build up their portfolio, and so they're happy for that, for whatever reason. And so I felt there was a space there where it's like, hey, instead of saying let's go to Fiverr and getting someone that I don't want to trash Fiverr, but let's go with somebody that actually knows the church world.
Yes.
Could probably be in your budget,
yep.
and you actually might like the final asset that you get actually better.
Yep.
And so so that's what we did. We started reaching out to people, and then I've never done any promotion outside of literally the only promotion I've ever done outside of initial like saying, hey, I created this, is me responding in those Facebook groups that when someone asked for a logo designer or WordPress designer or something, and saying, here's some options, and go to check out Church Lancer.
Yeah.
And on Church Lancer, we have it where you can filter down all of those things and find those. You can filter down by budget and location and things like that. Most of them are based in the U.S. We have a few that are in, like, I think the U.K. and Canada, maybe Australia even.
Okay.
So you can find – there's a possibility. We have people list their city. You could even find somebody local.
Yep.
There's a way to do that. But you can also one of the things I have them list is, like, what their budget is for different things. And it's not required, but most of them do it.
Yep.
What their minimum required budget is for something.
Okay.
So somebody might have down that there's a $500 minimum budget for a logo or, $1,000 minimum for a website design.
Yep.
And then there they have listed a – somewhat a minimum version of their portfolio. I think I have it limited down to like 10 images. They can upload 10 images.
Yep.
And so that's ideally that's their best work, similar to what you would find on, say, Dribbble or some other Behance if you were looking at it, or just their website.
Yep.
It's kind of a the idea isn't that you use – idea with ChurchLancer is that you would use ChurchLancer to find somebody, and then you guys go and have that relationship. You reach out to them, figure out if it's in your budget, in their budget or not. but back to – I guess back to the original question was more around – should you be outsourcing or should you? I think it depends. I mean, it depends on the church size. Yes. There's going to be some things. It depends on your budget. I think there's for somewhat larger churches that can afford it. I think there's a, those churches should have a communications person first and foremost.
Yes.
Like, I think a communications person should probably be hired before a video person, hired before a graphic designer.
Because they can manage the outsourced
support. So they can manage that. And a lot of these communications people, and you can find them in these groups, are talented in many ways, and they actually do this stuff already. They're a communications person first, but they also dabble in graphic design, or they dabble in building websites. They dabble in that, or it's a side hustle or something like that. So they can actually do that for you. Or at the very least, they can be the one that's project managing, someone outsourcing it. They can be the one that's communicating with Church Media Squad on getting the graphics done. So I think I would say for churches, I would say your number one priority one of your not one of your early hires, but a early hire should be a communications person.
So communications director, communications pastor, communications manager,
whatever
that looks like. That's your hub person for communications. And then, so let's talk about maybe what are the, what would you say are the top three things they should be lancing, freelancing, I guess. to engage somebody around support.
I think a few people will probably get mad at me with this, but I would say graphic design is not one of the first jobs you should hire. Not one of the first positions you fill. I think that's a lot. Well, that's one that's a lot easier to outsource. To a Church Media Squad.
So that'd be a good place to go.
I would say a graphic design is one of the. I'm not saying that you should never have a graphic designer on staff. But I would say I wouldn't hire a. a graphic design after you've hired a church communications person or a communications person for your church, I would graphic designer would not be the, my next hire. Even though that's probably a common trajectory for most churches, I would say you need a visual storyteller. And what I mean by that is someone that does both photo and video.
So who but who would you freelance? Who would you like prioritize from a freelancing perspective, not a hiring perspective? So when you're looking to kind of build your team of freelancers that you're contracting, what roles do you prioritize?
So after graphic design would be my first. Then I think it depends. It depends on your budget. I would say a lot of churches can find. I think your next position. I mean, graphic design is something that's going to be needed. Regardless if you're outsourcing or not, right? Like you're going to have bulletins. You're going to have you're going to need probably some social posts that you're promoting stuff. You're going to need there's banners that you're going to be that is going to be hung on the corner of the of the church to promote something. Like there's you need some type of graphic design. So even after church communication, that's the first your next payroll, whether it's a freelancer or a company or something or on staff, is going to be a graphic design person. That's just naturally the next need. The following need would be, like I said, visual storytelling. And so that's going to be a photographer slash videographer. Now, I don't know if it's necessary to outsource. I would say that's the next hire. And again, and, get those in quotation marks. I don't know if it's necessarily a I would say if you have the budget, I would hire for that full time. I would hire for that full time before I'd hire a graphic designer full time. Just because I think you're going to get a lot more out of that. What I but I don't think that's the only way to do it. I think that's actually something that most churches actually have a talented photographer already in their church. It's very very likely, or somebody that's interested in photography. That's already in their church. Rob Lauter, just who's the director of digital at Summit Church. Where's Summit Church? Is it North Carolina?
In North Carolina.
North Carolina. Scott, not Scott. What's his, what's the pastor's name?
I'm blanking
His
name.
Not Greer.
JD Greer.
JD Greer. One of my pastors' grant was Scott Greer. That was a different name, but I was getting confused. JD Greer, popular pastor, he's president of the SBC, mm-hmm. Very large church there, multi-site, huge. Rob just started something called Church Photographers. I think it's churchphotographers.com.
Okay.
Just yesterday they did like a summit on all those in all those groups we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they train. And Rob's big thing is training a volunteer team on how to do church photography. So church photography meaning, you know, it's obviously things like staff photos, but also mainly services. So capturing photography and service. That you can then repurpose on your website, repurpose on social media, tons of different ways you can reuse photography, right?
Yep.
And capturing, say, like baptisms. If you're, say, you're doing like a fall festival or, you know, Christmas stuff's coming up, make sure you're capturing any of those events that you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important one, is making sure you're capturing those events. And that can either be, again, through a hire. I guess I would say if you have the budget, hire somebody. You don't work on your communications person should be working on building up a volunteer team of photographers and not even videography, but photography. Like I said, there's likely, regardless of your church size, I could almost guarantee you there's a probably 90% chance that you have somebody in your congregation that is either a professional photographer or a hobby photographer or is interested in photography. And they probably do really good photos on their iPhone. Yeah. And they love it, and they love Instagram.
Yes.
And those, I guarantee you that you probably have somebody like that in your church, regardless of your size. And so it's about, I would recommend finding those people and getting them involved and and asking them to help you with these with those. And maybe it's growing out a team, maybe it's just that one person.
Yeah.
There's different ways there. Now, I think there could be places to hire a photographer on as a freelancer.
Yep.
That's also one I wouldn't bother. I thought about this for Church Lancer. If we should have something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't bother with it because it's such a local thing.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Most of the jobs on Church Lancer are something you can do remote. That can be done remotely.
Yeah.
Whereas photography and videography, that needs to be done locally.
Yes.
And you're probably not going to want to. It's probably not wise to spend a budget to fly somebody in to do that unless you're a bigger church and it's something unique. So. There's tons of local photographers. We're not going to be able to list them best for you, so it's finding those locally. There's probably some type of way to find it locally already. So you could, if you had an event and you can't find somebody within your church, still think you should. You could hire a photographer. Redeemer, we actually do that sometimes. One of our ministries does it pretty commonly for events. They have a few different freelance photographers that they hire for different events specifically. And those people just are really, they know what they're doing. You know, it costs probably a couple $100 and you're going to, and they're professionals. And so you get the assets, you get all the photos, you get a link with, you know, 40, 50, 60 photos or something that are all really great and usable right away. So that's great. There's other organizations. If you're a larger church and you're doing like a large ministry, and you do like say a conference or something. Say like a Orange conference or Gospel Coalition conference or something like that. There's an agency called Reverb.
Are
you familiar with Reverb? Those guys are great. They do their specialty is and they don't only do work in ministries, but they're it's something that's in their heart. I mean, So they're based out of Chattanooga, but they
Clark is great.
Clark's fantastic. Basically,
we got to get him on the Clark. If you're listening, you got to get on the podcast.
And Clark, you need to come hang out with us.
We
need you in New York. Clark, he keeps reaching out to me to try to do something with us, and I'm like, I don't have a need. We're not quite the fit for that.
We got to find a reason for him to get out here.
But basically, Clark and Reverb RVRB. Their focus is on events, and basically, their big thing is they're basically taking over your social, not just Instagram, but mainly Instagram, but your social for that day. And they have they do everything from grabbing like a host for you to just capturing everything on video and photography and doing like interviews with guests or interviews with your speakers or different things like that. And it's all just high quality, looks amazing, and they'll put together at the. Maybe the end of the day or the next day, a highlight video for you. There's things like that that are, I think is worth outsourcing that they could. I know for us, I've thought about it for us to try to, if we could hire them, bring them in to do anything, they would do 10 times what our team could do.
Yep.
Right. Just because that's their experts in that.
Yes.
And that's the big thing with all this is just hire. It's important to hire the experts, and that's what they're experts in. So if you ever have a conference or something big that you want to just like, you want to really deliver on social, and have some like great, video assets and everything afterwards, Reverb's great for that. And they're kind of an agency, firm type thing to hire for that. So I think it depends. Like if I was to host we host events all the time where, you know, it's 500 to 1,000 people.
Yep.
I would say that's probably not quite big enough for what we'd want to do. But if I was to host an event that was, you know, 5,000 people or plus, I'd probably bring in those guys before I would say have our team do it. And also our team would be doing other things anyways.
Yep.
We'd probably be in charge of the live stream. And so it'd be easier to outsource all of that work to those guys.
Yep.
And again, they're the experts in that. So they're going to do it a lot better than we would, even Absolutely. If I had the best team I thought I could get together.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of variables in it, but photography and videography, I think, are so important, especially in today. And that's why I kind of lean heavier on that, focusing on that versus graphics.
Yes.
Because it's one of those where, it's more natural. Graphic on Instagram isn't really, it's not natural for the platform. It's not it's not organic to that platform. It's obviously produced, right?
Yep.
Whereas a video, even if it's high quality, is actually that's a native thing to be on Instagram.
Yep.
A video or a photo.
Yep. Yep. And I'm curious, do you have any copywriters on Church Lancer?
I feel like
that'd be an area that a church could really use some support.
So Church Lancer, I think I've had some. I have at least a few marketing people.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember. I think there's one that might be, but they might do some other things.
Okay,
interesting. That's one thing I've looked at with Church Lancer is, do I go beyond the creative field?
Yeah.
So I've been approached about actually even like people acquiring Church Lancer because they have. I know somebody that's working on something that's going to be bigger than Church Lancer, in the sense of like they basically want to create a like an Upwork for churches.
Yeah, right? Interesting.
And right now we're kind of a very mini version of that, right?
Yep.
We're not trying to be a middleman. We're trying to like point you in the right direction of who to hire.
Yep.
Whereas Upwork's kind of the middleman, and like you do all your project management through there, the payments go through there, and I've contemplated like maybe I offer that, maybe I do that. Right now, also, Church Lancer is very focused on the creative fields. So, graphic design, you know, motion graphics, websites, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've had virtual assistants reach out to me and ask to be listed on there. And so far, we've held off, and I keep going back and forth on this. Should I open it up to other type of, should I open it to, say, coaching or, coaching or virtual assistants and just anything that a church can need? I actually don't know. And that's one of the things where I say, like, my goal is to rebuild Church Lancer.
Yeah.
And I need to make some of these decisions on what I want it to be going forward. Do I want to monetize it in any way in the sense of, like, do I want to act like an Upwork and be a middleman where people can actually hire the freelancer through there and pay through there.
Yep.
And that way they don't have to worry about how the freelancers handles all that stuff.
Yep.
I think there's some pros and cons to that if I were to be involved in that.
Sure.
And it gets a lot more complex, and that's why I would want to monetize it to make sure to justify doing it. And it's also so niche where I'm like, do I even bother? I don't know. I don't need it to make money. Like I'm financially, I'm doing okay.
I think it's a generous gift to both churches and to freelancers.
Yeah.
And a good connection piece. So I'll be excited to see where you go with the platform. Any advice for churches as we wrap up this conversation?
Regarding freelancing and things like that?
Regarding anything involved in the church. You've got
Anything involved in the church.
The microphone.
Oh, that's a hard one.
Speaking to church leaders.
I actually just posted this today in the church communications group. I don't think people understand quite what I was getting at with it, but speaking as freelancers, so Veterans Day is coming up, right?
Yep.
There's so many Veterans Day graphics that are pre-made for you or that I saw people posting and sharing and asking for and stuff like that.
Yes.
This is one of those, again, when I come back to graphic design versus visual storytelling through through photography and videography, this is one of those ones where you would get a much better return investing in a – instead of a graphic for Veterans Day and saying, hey,
yes,
thank you for your service, whatever your graphic's going to say, happy Veterans Day, whatever
yep.
it is.
Yep.
Why not tell a story of a veteran that's in your church yeah. or a local – just yeah. like it's very – coming back to one of those things, highly likely that you have a veteran in your church.
Yes.
Regardless of your size.
Yes.
And so why not tell that their story?
Yeah.
And so whether that's – instead of a graphic,
yep.
focus on doing a like Humans of New York style
yes.
photo.
Yes.
And I mean, that's really easy.
Yep.
If anybody with iPhone 10 or newer can do
yep.
a portrait mode on their phone and take a photo of that veteran
yes.
and ask them a few questions and turn something into a great post that yep. is going to be way more memorable, way more have a much bigger impact on one, just for the veteran. Like, I'm sure they're going to appreciate you telling their story.
Yeah.
And then also to your congregation, because they're going to, one, actually hear from an actual veteran.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to be feel more invested in
yep.
in that person's life as well as the church. They're going to learn something new most likely.
Yep.
It's just going to go a lot further. Or if you have the means, then create a video about
yes.
like a video testimonial or something.
Yeah.
That's one of those things where it's where I think we just need to go beyond as far as social. Need to go beyond. I say this, we don't have anything planned at Redeemer for any
yeah.
of that. I'm not I'm not trying to sit over here on my high horse as like a, you guys are doing this wrong, but more of just like, we need to be thinking that way versus
yep.
let's just get something up.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of the method of like with the graphic or even like anytime there's a tragedy, right?
Yeah.
Or whether it's a shooting or
yeah.
a tornado or whatever it is, it's like pray yes. for X right. city or praise right. for, pray for whatever it is. I don't think those are bad necessarily, but I think yeah. they're, I think we can go, we feel like we have to say something, which I don't yeah. think is always the case.
Yeah.
We feel like we have to say something on social. And then but what we do it with, is, by putting a graphic up, is just, I think you would have been better off just not saying something to some extent.
Yeah.
Or I think if you're, what would really show, whether it's something like Veterans Day or a tragic event, what could really go a long way is actually investing a little bit more time. Take,
yep.
Put it on hold. Like, don't just do it just to do
yep.
it.
Yep.
Setting aside time and actually investing in what would something thoughtful be around whatever it is, and telling a story here.
Yeah.
And maybe that's in the sense of a tragedy. Maybe instead of
yep.
the day of the event, it's what happened 3 days later when
yep.
Joe and Karen from your church went
yes.
down and helped those tornado mm-hmm. victims and. Here's a photo they took of a family
yeah.
that we want to help.
Yes.
That's down there, right? Or,
yeah.
again, this veteran served in Iraq and grew up in our church. And here's a little bit of his story
yeah.
of what's faith like after seeing some of the things that he's seen.
Yep.
I think there's way more ways to there's a lot more ways to communicate what our – what we're intended with these posts, like our hearts are in the right place with those.
Yes.
And I think as church, we understand that there's a need to respond to those things, whatever it is. But I think what we really need to do is get past the let's get something up mindset and say, one, do we need to actually do anything here?
Yep.
And two, if we do, what does it actually look like to knock it out of the park?
Yes.
Or what does it actually look like? That's going to do something that's going to impact our community, our church community.
Yep.
Posting a graphic is not going to impact your church community.
Yeah.
Telling someone's story in your church is
yes.
going to impact your church community.
Yeah.
Whether it's just that person or two other people that actually took something from it.
Yes.
And so it's just investing time in that.
I love that. Love that. And I would say that's across the board in that strategy, just being thoughtful
yeah.
and investing time, you
yeah.
know, is how you become more effective. Well, Casey, this has been a great conversation.
Yeah.
Fascinating. All the different things that you're doing.
Well,
I'm grateful for your friendship. And I would say your generosity
thanks,
with the giving platforms, with Church
yeah, yeah.
Lancer, and with, you know, the WordPress development that
yeah,
you
yeah.
do. So many different things for the kingdom. And then even the things you modeled through Gospel and Life and at Redeemer.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. How can people connect with you online? What's the best place?
So just Casey Fulgenzi everywhere
yes.
at Casey Fulgenzi. And that's
yeah.
CASEY FULGENZI. I'm on all the platforms and,
yes,
and all the groups.
Yes, you will find him on the internet. So just search for him on the internet, yeah, and you'll find him, and check out the different platforms. And even on the platforms, you can find a link back to his site and the places to, yeah, connect, yeah, with Casey. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast. Again, I'm Neil Smith. You can follow me at Neil Smith on social media or neilsmith.com. And check out our website, socialmedia.church. For the show notes and everything. And there's going to be a lot of show notes for this episode, because we've got a lot of links and things that we covered and want to make to draw your attention to. So go check that out, socialmedia.church, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it is that you're listening, and share this podcast with a friend. Thanks so much for listening.